Hello, and welcome to Clamp, the Creating, Living, and Making podcast. I'm your host, Adam Mackey, and joining me, as always, is Morley Kurt.
Hello.
And Grant Alexander.
Hello.
Hello. What have you been working on, Grant?
Well, I've been sort of working on the cabinet door video for the bowler. So I made new doors for the cabinets in there. So it's basically a little short video on how to make some simple cabinet doors. And I'm mentioning it now so that by the time this episode is out, I'll have to have finished the video. I've also been working on the toddler bed. It's only been a few days since we recorded last time, so I haven't done that much, but it was the weekend. I got the majority of the toddler bed done. The frame is done. All the slats are done. And I'm just trying to work out the triangular piece. Trying to get all the angles right and make it strong. And it's a little bit more complex than I was hoping, because I basically, the more you splay a triangle out, the more the different angles you have to cut. And so I want to cut anyways. If I just done the 3D modeling that I wanted to do for this stupid thing, then I would easily be able to modify it and then figure out all the dimensions and angles. But because I didn't, I'm now trying to do it in space as I'm doing it. And it's just not easy if I want it to look real good.
It's never too late to start over.
It may not be, but I don't have enough time between now and when I need this done to do a 3D model. That's basically why I didn't do it in the first place, because I basically said, yeah, I could spend the however many hours doing it. I didn't have that time, so I went, I'll just do it this way, and anything I come across, I'll just figure it out.
Does it need to be done when the new baby comes? Is that the
needs to be done now? My wife wanted it done yesterday, kind of thing.
Gotcha. Depending on how compound these angles are, you might not even need to do a full 3D model. You might just need to do a 2D sketch to figure out the angles, right?
So I have a 2D sketch. The problem with the 2D sketch is that I need to account for basically the end pieces aren't going to be a full rectangle. I need to cut some of that off, and I need to know what angle to cut that bit off. And if I cut too much off, then I need to cut it at a different angle. I'm not explaining it very well, but just trust me in that basically it's more complicated than my 2D drawing got me really close. My 2D sketch got me the angles that I wanted, and I was able to cut them, but they weren't exactly perfect because am I taking the inside angle or the outside angle? And it's a 2-inch big piece, and the lines that I make on my thing are, minuscule. They're nothing, right? So you're always taking the inside measurements plus the outside measurements, and it just makes it a little bit more difficult than I wanted it to be.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll figure it out. It sounds like it's going to look really, really nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I saw a picture of the base. It looks really nice.
Did you? Oh, yeah, on Instagram.
The wood, the different types of wood.
Yeah, so I used up all of my scrap wood. Not all of them, but I only used scrap wood to make this. And it was all just random, one piece of, some wood that I didn't even know what it was. A bunch of it looks like oak. Some of it, it looks like pine, but it is not, it is hard and heavy. So not like pine.
Australian pine.
Maybe.
Or just old pine. But all the wood was super rough. Some of it was looked like a barn board, but it was probably just laying outside for 50 years. Anyways, I got all the wood free, finally using it up. Thank goodness.
Nice.
But it definitely took way more time to do that than just going to the store and buying some, one by material.
but that's what we do, isn't it? Is the using the recycled timber worth your time and money? That's why some people decide to just go buy timber because the time's more important.
Yeah,
we've talked about that before.
Yeah, and I constantly wonder what I'm doing while I'm out there. But I'm having fun doing it. So
yeah,
I guess there's that. I just have so much I want to do in so little time.
Agreed.
But Morley, what have you been working on?
So I published the video on making the Memento notebooks for the instructors, which was nice to get done because that was a long project. It was like a sprint to the finish. I think I'm pretty good at time management, and I basically needed all the time outside of work in the week leading up to the end of camp to get those done. I mean, I started it before then, but in terms of like getting time for, you know, like to emboss the leather and then dye the leather and then finish it and then glue it, like all those things take drying time and you can't do immediately one after the other. But yeah, no, it was a really sentimental, fun project. And I got our camp videographer to film actually giving it to the instructors, which was nice to kind of incorporate into the end of the video. She filmed a lot. She filmed like a solid 10 minutes. So it's kind of cool that I have that now, like just on my hard drive, because there's some, it's cool when like you see the replay of a situation that you were in and you weren't really like conscious of it from a third person perspective. But yeah, it was,
she gave the peace sign to the camera.
She did. Shout out to Jen. She's awesome. She actually, she's doing working on a shoot for the CBC now. She's like a professional, I don't know what, like she's in one of the film IATSE unions. I think she does lighting and rigging. I'm not really sure. But she's awesome. She's super cool. She does some like all sorts of 3D printing and forging and stuff as well. Actually gave her a ton of aluminum cans that she could forge down this summer, because we collected a bunch for a project and didn't end up using any of them. So I'm like, hey Jen, do you want 200 aluminum cans to melt down? She's like, heck yeah.
Wow.
So yeah,
it's worth $20 here.
Yeah. I want to do another leather bound journal this fall for my dad. I showed him the one I made when I was down there, and he was like, oh, I've always wanted to get into journaling. And I was like, well, do I have the Hanukkah gift for you? So I'll probably be making one a little bit later on this season. Other than that, so we have a kind of a cool marketing project in progress right now at the Steam Project. The director Jay, he had this idea of doing a little like free project that we could give out to kids as kind of like an introduction to the Steam Project. And then they kind of have to go on to the website to figure out how to put it together. And it, you know, it's a lead funnel or a sales funnel. And what I'm designing is a little laser cut tensegrity sculpture. And the upper part of the tensegrity sculpture is the camp dog Tesla jumping over a fence. So I've been designing that the past couple of days, which has been really fun. It's a cool, like iterative prototyping process. So I'm like designing an infusion and then laser cutting it and then making notes on how to improve it. So tomorrow I'll probably get the final version done. Like it could definitely be, finalized more, but in terms of something we like really want to get out ASAP, because understandably parents are a little weirded out right now with like, do I want to send my kids to an after-school program? Do I want to do a virtual program, which we're also still offering? And some of these kids have, you know, Zoom fatigue. So everyone right now is in this space where they're like, they're not really sure what activities they want to do for their kids this fall. So we're kind of accelerating on our marketing. So,
and it might all just shut down at any moment.
Right.
Again, like right now, I just read today, COVID numbers are spiking in Ottawa in the schools. Like when I compare to number of confirmed cases last year, like there were in the tens in the entire year confirmed in the school. Mm-hmm. There's in the first week, there's already like 30 something in Ottawa confirmed cases. It's crazy. So,
you know, we'll see what happens. I think the Steam Project has been really great at like staying resilient throughout COVID. Like we've found interesting opportunities throughout, and I'm sure we'll continue to. We have some like, we're looking at starting a robotics league and have some other collaborations and stuff in the works. We just made a bunch of props for a TV show, so stuff will continue to happen.
Totally.
We want to get these out so that like we don't miss the opportunity.
I think it's an awesome idea. I'm just trying to be.
Yeah, no, it's Debbie it's a Downer, weird. I'm it sorry. Is a weird time. You're 100% right.
Can you say what TV show?
I don't know, actually. And if I did, I'm sure I would not be allowed to.
Can you say what you made?
It's a bunch of like space. It's a bunch of projects that we would have sent out anyway, but they're being placed in a fictional classroom in like a science and tech corner. I might not even be supposed to be saying cool. So don't sue me.
Well, you didn't sign a non-disclosure, so
you're right.
Otherwise, you would know not to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we did some. Yeah. Anyway, that's a
so
lots Tesla, of little things in the works.
Tesla's the name of a dog. Did you say?
Yes, she's a Bernese Mountain Dog Labrador mix.
When you wrote that in the show notes, I was so excited that you bought a Tesla.
No, someday.
I want one so
someday.
Bad.
Someday.
My brother has one.
I don't know. I really want one. Anyway.
In other news, I'm getting ready to head south next week to Austinville. And I'm working on my mementos for that. But I don't want to reveal it before the actual event. I mean, I put it what it is in the Google sheet, but anyways, doing some woodworking laser cutting for that. So
you've already told everyone what it was.
Yeah, but it's a sort of thing where it's like it's a sentimental thing. I want to reveal it in the moment and it's in its full thing. Yeah. Anyways, that is what I've been up to. Adam.
Yeah. Well, with you? Keen eyes that can't see you other than you two will see that I am blank for what I've been doing. I have actually been doing nothing. I've been going through, I'm not going to lie, I've been going through a pretty mental process for the last couple of weeks. And yeah, so as much as we love a good segue, I do want to put a little disclaimer and say that in this episode, we're going to be talking a lot about psychological and mental health and all that sort of stuff. If you or anyone needs help, please seek help. We'll have numbers and links in the show notes for health lines and all that sort of stuff. So please reach out. We're all here, including myself, to talk if you need an ear. And yeah. So yeah, in saying that, I called my work's employee assistance program the other day, did a counseling session, starting therapy. Hopefully this week, if they can fit me in, if not next week. And yeah, like nothing really crazy. Like I've just been feeling really down. I've been depressed for quite a while and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, been struggling to sort of do the social media side and all that sort of stuff. And my problem is that I seem to separate myself a lot when I get in these situations. People that follow me on Instagram have probably noticed that I don't really post that much and now posting even less. Struggling to sort of get YouTube stuff done. I've had plenty of time in the last week that I could have been working on projects, home alone and all that sort of stuff. And I just have no effort, no energy to do any of it. So yeah. Yeah, so it really got me thinking. I've been thinking for a while that I want to quit YouTube, but I know I don't. I just trying to find the energy to keep it going and do it. I love making videos. I love the editing process, but I'm just not happy with what I'm putting out because I don't have the energy that I want to express in my videos. Like I don't have like the excitement that I would like to actually show because of how I feel and all that sort of stuff. The last two videos I've put out have been instructional videos with like Fusion 360 and the CNC, and I've been really enjoying making those. And I want to do that a lot more. So I think my channel is sort of going to do that little shift across where it'll be more instructional and then every now and then it'll be a project and all that. But yeah, mm-hmm. So yeah, one of the main things I want to talk about today was like the stress of what we do in a way, you know, like it's very, people that make YouTube videos will know that like, it's very stressful to think about like, is this going to work? Is this going to be okay? Do people even want to see this? And all that sort of stuff. So,
mm-hmm. And yeah, I've definitely had tons of times where I've thought, look, what am I doing? Wasting my life away making videos for dozens of people to watch.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
And it definitely brings you down. And like, especially when you finally feel like you're gaining some ground and you're getting some good feedback and everything's good, and then you have a couple of flops, it yep. hits you so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it really does. I know what you mean. Like, as I said last episode or the one before, I put out a video and I got like 60 subscribers from that one video, and it felt really good. But usually I put out videos and like, I'm lucky to get 100 views, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, well, why am I bothering? But I enjoy it. But then I get to a point now where I don't even have energy to set up the camera. Like, if I want to make something, I don't want to film it because it's just too much effort.
I feel the same way a lot of times. There's a lot of things that I've made that I didn't film. And then I later, like, cause in the moment I was just like, F it. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't like, just fuck it. Like, I just want to get this thing done and over with. And I've later regretted it. So it's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Your mental health is going to be suffering whether you've done the thing in the moment that seemed right, or you did the thing later it seemed right. I feel like I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of like when we talked about guilt on one of the episodes. I'm constantly battling with myself over what I should be doing and how I should be feeling.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I think to start off the list of resources in this episode, one I'm going to throw out there and I'll put in the show notes is a book called Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach. And it talks directly about what you just said, Grant, which is like judging your own feelings and emotions. And I found it had a lot of strategies that were very helpful in mindfulness techniques and really like rigorously tracking how you're feeling and how you're reacting to those thoughts. So I would definitely recommend that to anyone who is, anytime you're, you know, feeling guilty for feeling a certain way or upset with yourself, or, you know, ashamed of an emotion. She's a very good way of writing and describing these things. It does take a lot of time. And I felt myself thinking about the same things exactly, where you start questioning, you're like, wow, I only do have so many hours in the day. As I've said, I know we all have so many hours in the day, but the royal we have so many hours in the day. And it's a big time commitment to be like, you know, sharing all these things and creating videos. And then part of me has asked many times, like, oh, and for what? I talked about it on the Into the Spotlight episode we did with Vincent, where like I was having a weekend day where it was like a Sunday and I was working really hard in a video and I was trying something. It was actually when I was doing my bookbinding video, the first one that I did, and I was trying to show the stitching of the book in like an engaging way. And I started thinking like, this looks bad. This isn't interesting. Like, I think this video, like, this feels like this insurmountable obstacle to get over in this video. And I did what I do a lot of times in those situations where like I started working on something else and coming back to it. But in the back of my head, I have this like pile of crap that I'm working on. And it like really got to me, and I felt kind of like I was wasting my weekend. I'd already spent a lot of time on the computer that week, and felt like frustrated with how I was using my time. And then started, you know, having more existential thoughts about like, what am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And like laid on the floor and just like cried and just felt like, just kind of like felt all those things. And it was a sort of situation, I'm sure everyone's been there, where it's like, you have this kind of like overwhelming feeling of emotion and you can't really pinpoint to any one exact thing, but it's sort of like a buildup of things over time. And for me, that was a signal of like, I should probably stop working on this project for right now. Like, I don't need it to survive. It's not necessary that I finish editing this video today, but it was a pretty good signal that like, this is probably not what I should be doing. And I tried to make a pretty conscious effort that day to like intentionally rest, like go for a long walk and like read a book that I've been meaning to read for a while. And I think I realized at the end of that day that the main problem was that like, I really needed a rest day. And I like hadn't taken a rest day in like weeks. which had really built up over time. And I think as much as we like to think sometimes that like being productive is great and you can just be like endlessly prolific and productive, like you can't, most of us can't really, you need to take some time off. And it's hard to force creative output. So, you know, Adam, I think what you're going through is very, I think a lot of people go through it. I've gone through it. I think, it's like admirable what you're saying, and that like, you don't want to create a video if you feel like you can't be the person that you want to be. Cause I've done that before where it's like, you try to, you know, create a on camera talking head Instagram story and you just do it and you're like, eh, that was just, bleh. That's not me. I feel fake. I feel like some like cringy wannabe influencer sort of thing. This is all gross.
Yeah.
And I think that's the times when you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like say for instance, if you go back to my workbench videos that I put out, the 3-part series, I wanted the beginning, like the intros, to be so like exciting and like just show how excited I was to like have this thing finished. And I just couldn't do it. I felt awkward. I just, like, as soon as I tried to get out of my element in that way of like expressing myself more than what I like, just nothing, I think that's where I had a lot of issues with it. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that makes sense what I was trying to say. But, and yeah, I think it's definitely like putting ourselves out there as much as we do and all that, it is definitely very mentally frustrating in a way. I mean, I have some other issues that don't help. I'm always worry about what people think of me. Always have. Hopefully therapy can help me with that. I mean, my best mate asked me to be at his wedding party, and my first thought was, I hope he's not just asking me because he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. You know, like, and I talked to the counselor and she's like, it's not the anxiety that I thought it was. It's more trust issues because of like my upbringing. I hate saying upbringing because it sounds like it's like my parents' fault, but it's not. It's like my, like the people I was with at school mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. But because of that, I have ways the way that I like, it's the way that I am. And all that sort of stuff. And like my best mate found out and he's like, what's your problem? Like, is it just because you're not the best man and stuff? And I'm like, no, like, it's just me, you know what I'm like, you know, like it's just such a stress and yeah, makes life really hard to deal with sometimes, but you know, I'm getting through.
I find it difficult because I will often think, should I do this so that I don't hurt someone's feelings? Yeah. And so then I think everyone else is only inviting me because they don't want to hurt my feelings or whatever. I totally, it's like you overanalyze everything.
For sure.
And then you just go, you know what? What am I even doing here? F it. Like, I'll just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, fuck it. I'll just go home. I'm done. Right. Yeah. Like.
That's I've got a few stories that like, you know, like they're funny to me now. At the time it was distressing and stuff, you know, like, so we went to we went to one of my other good mates' housewarming parties and I got a bit too drunk. I stood up and I threw up all over his deck. My wife had to, like, she hosed off the deck, the dogs ate it, and she had to chase me in her car because I had run off down the street bawling my eyes out.
Oh my
screaming God. That I just ruined everyone's night. You know, like, it's funny now, but you know, at the time it wasn't, you know, like, it
obviously
that's how I am, you know, like, I'm always constantly worrying about what people think of me. And that was one of the main reasons why I started YouTube, is because I wanted to put myself out there in an uncomfortable position and try and sort of beat this myself, which I'm, you know, now realizing that I actually need help. And yeah, so try to get it.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to do it on your own.
It definitely is.
I'm very lucky in the sense that like Eden is like a very, very good listener. I sometimes call her my free therapist. She's studying to become a social worker and she's going to be an amazing one. Everyone who talks to her can see it and I can see it. And yeah, like trying to like work through that stuff on your own can be kind of insanity making sometimes. Like I'll sometimes just like, you know, talk to myself as I'm driving just so it's not all happening in my own head and I can sort of like work through things that way. Cause sometimes it just takes saying things out loud to reach a little more clarity for me.
Yeah, definitely talking to someone helps tremendously. Like just even just someone listening to you saying, you speaking and saying, your feelings and stuff makes you hear it as well and makes you think about what you're trying to get out and what you're trying to say, which I think helps a lot.
Yeah. I think one thing that I'm kind of realizing I struggle with is, I think this is going to be hard to articulate. I think in some ways I find it difficult to relate to people, or I convince myself that I'm like different from other people in some way. And it makes it so that it's sometimes hard to like recognize like what I'm going through. And, you know, like it adds to the feeling of like imposter syndrome or of like otherness when you're in a group of people. It's not a constant thing, but it's something that like I definitely identify and have to deal with sometimes. But when I can really like allow myself to feel part of a group, I'm like, oh yeah, like this is like, everyone is, we're all the same. Like we're all kind of going through this together. When I allow myself to kind of reach those like moments of, I don't want to say empathy, cause I don't want to say that I want to give myself some credit. I feel like I am a relatively empathetic person, but, to allow myself to kind of like relate to what other people are going through a little bit, it definitely takes some of the, like the mental weight off where it's like, oh no, like this is different from everyone else's situation in some way, which is kind of a irrational thought.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you feel like, is it like narcissism where you feel like you're specialer than everyone? Or is
I don't think, not exactly. I think it's, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, it was hard to articulate.
Yeah. I definitely go through times where I feel like I'll in like the same moment think I am better than everyone and then beat myself up for being so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I definitely should talk to someone, but I tried that once and I didn't get a very good person because it was like through my work, and they set me up with someone who was near my work. And that's what I wanted. Someone that I could easily, like, I didn't want to have to drive somewhere. Cause I knew like if I put a barrier between me going to see someone, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So it either had to be near my house or near my work so I could walk there, like on the way to the bus or whatever. And so I just got set up with the closest person. And I think she was, like, I know that she was mainly into like child psychology. And so like, she was very heavily focused on what happened and what was wrong with my parents. And I'm like, Adam, I don't think there was anything wrong. I tried to tell her like all the things that happened to me as a kid that had nothing to do with my parents. She was like, and yes. And so what happened with your parents? I'm like, nothing. They were fine. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, the kids who beat me up that I still think about to this day, when like 20 kids ganged up on me and were kicking me on the ground. Yeah, I still think about that today. But I don't think about what my parents did as a kid, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. I'm exactly the same. I mean, I was bullied for pretty much 10 years straight every day, all day at school. And that's why I am the way I am. I know that's why the way I am. But I haven't found like how to fix that. And that's why I wanted to get help. But that's really bad. Like even for a kid, that she's putting all the blame on the parents. Like even if a 10-year-old went into therapy because they get bullied and all that sort of stuff, and she's just assuming it's the parents' fault.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. I will to change it up a little bit, because I don't want to go too far on digging into that. Like,
yeah.
You know, all I want to say about that is, if you have a shitty person you're speaking with, try another one.
Yeah,
and that's keep what trying until you find one that will work for you. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, so just to jump in real quickly, like the mental health system is clearly broken. And like, there's lots of therapists out there. I think I agree with the notion that like everyone can use therapy. I think the stigma against therapy is insane, not to mix metaphors, but it's difficult when you go to see someone and then you're like, oh no, I want to go see someone else. It just, the process makes it like, there's lots of barriers in place to that make it difficult to try between different people. But like you said, I think there's so many different therapists and style of therapy out there that, like you said, like I wouldn't write the notion off completely if you had a bad first experience.
Yeah.
My big thing is I started thinking, I don't want to offend her by saying I don't want to see her anymore. Which is like such a, like, this is how, that's how stupid like and broken I am. It's like, but she doesn't care.
Right? Well, I don't think that's a uncommon thought. It's like how I've had the thought before where it's like, I don't want to leave this job or this relationship because I don't want to hurt this person's feelings or badly, you know, impact their business. I think we all have those feelings.
Even the happiest person in the world is going to need therapy. Like everyone needs it. That is actually a really good point that I should quickly touch on, is that there's no shame in getting help. You know, I know I've definitely felt it. I wanted to do this episode because I wanted to express what I've been going through, but it took me a little bit to sort of realize that I can talk about it. At first I was like, oh, people are going to think like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, why does he need therapy and all this sort of stuff? And you know, I realized that it's something that needs to be talked about and that everyone can relate to. In saying that, I signed up with a company a while ago that was referred to me by someone else that loves the company. It's like an online therapy counseling place. Mm-hmm. I did like the first week free. They did like a week free. And like the first session was like nothing about me at all. You know, you could tell that they were just sort of like trying to get you in their system and not actually like give you therapy until you start paying. And that sort of like threw me off. And then like I booked in for a session that I didn't go to. And then like the person like messaged me and they're like, hey, like we need to get in contact in this. And I just ignored them because I didn't want to offend them by saying that I don't want to, like, I could have just messaged them and been, look, it's just not for me. Instead of that, I just ignored them. As far as they know, I went in, you know, like
anything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's, but the anxiety overwhelmed me of telling someone that I don't want to talk to them, that I just ignored them and shut them out.
I've been there, but I try and not be there, but it's definitely difficult. But to bring this around to more making and stuff is, in high school, I had the opportunity to like take wood shop every year and I enjoyed wood shop, but what I didn't enjoy were the people that seemed to gravitate towards, I'll call it the trades, like wood shop and mechanics and all that kind of stuff tended to be the people who bullied me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For whatever reason, I don't understand.
When it's the I same think thing of the for make, me. I know what you but, mean.
But when I think of the maker community today, like I don't see these bullies in it, right? I don't see bully woodworkers, but I saw bully woodworkers in high school. So what did they end up becoming? Like, where, like, I don't know. I don't follow any of them on Facebook or anything, but they must have done something. And they were all like pushing to get into the trades at the time, right? Like, and it just seems like this, I don't know. I don't know where they went, but I know I probably would have started making more stuff that I enjoy, like woodworking, at an earlier age had it not been for the people in those classes.
Yeah.
Kind of bullying me out of it. It's not even like they would like try and stop me from doing it in the class. I just didn't want to be around them. And I knew if I took, if I took physics, they weren't there. If I took, you know, chemistry, they weren't in those classes. And it's a lot easier to get on with, like, you can be a dumb person in the physics class and it's okay. And if you're a smart person in the woodworking class, they make fun of you. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because the woodworking class is like what tough people do, you know, like you're a tough person if you know how to build things. But I can guarantee that half of those people will still be in the trades. they'll be building houses and carpenters and stuff, and they'll still be the same person. They'll be the person that hackles the new guy, makes him go get a left-handed hammer and all that sort of stuff, you know. And not just like does it as a little prank, like they will go on about it forever. They will tease this person forever, you know, like you fall for that joke and like you're the laughing stock of this person for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like they're still out there. I see it.
Yeah.
I see it now. I know a few people that are tradies that are good people, and I can see, like, I've seen like stories of like their like other people they work with that are just complete fuckwits and assholes.
Right. You know? I guess they're probably also the people ripping people off, like that we hear about.
Yeah, probably.
You know, that like, you know, take on a job, don't know what they're doing, screw it all yep. up, and then yep. blame the customer. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, no, you just didn't know what you're doing. Just shut up and go. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know. So my number one bully in high school, he teased me up until year 10, till eventually I got to a point where I turned around and punched him in the face.
Nice.
Never did it again. Never teased me again, which was quite weird. And like all his mates are like, go on, hit him. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm going to get suspended and stuff. And then he ended up getting suspended anyway. Because he started the whole thing. But yeah, anyway, he is now in jail, I found out.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I can see it. I can see why. You know, like after school, he became like a bikie and like into all that sort of stuff, the crime world and all that. And, you know, you could just tell that that was the person he was going to be.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't really know how to keep this conversation going. But this is the point. This is what I'm trying to get across. Mental health is very hard to talk about, but it needs to be talked about.
Well, you know, I think another thing is that you mentioned earlier, like you had these, you know, negative people. I grant not to put words in your mouth, but I feel like that's kind of what you're getting at, like a general negative atmosphere in the woodworking shop in high school. Not that they were bullying you every second, but that there was always the potential for that. And there were unpleasant, mean people to be around. And you're right. It's a very, very different vibe from the online maker community, which a lot of like everyone lauds for being like so positive and so constructive. But I do think in some ways that that makes it a difficult place to talk about like tougher, more like sensitive subjects, because especially with social media, I think there's this kind of implicit pressure to say like everything's awesome and like this is so awesome, that is so awesome, that it doesn't really feel like the place, you know, to like to say like, oh no, like things aren't awesome. Things aren't awesome right now.
Yeah.
Well,
you know.
And I especially if you're trying to get brands to sign on to your business or whatever, like you don't want to be the person bringing people down, because brands often don't want to be associated with that unless it's Bell Let's Talk month, right? It's like, you know, I think that's February because they like to choose short months to do fun things like that. That kind of stuff where they don't want to talk about mental health except for on the 1 week or 1 day or one month that they've picked, right? And then it's okay to talk about mental health that day. But the rest of the time, everyone is cheery and happy and every brand ambassador is loving their life and living it to the fullest. And right? And it's like, I think I'm with you, Morley. I hear you. It's difficult.
It's why I love, you know, the art community in a lot of ways, because I think the discussion of difficult topics is way more prevalent among like songwriters and musicians. Like I've mentioned it before, the podcast Switched on Pop, I really have really been enjoying recently, and hearing songwriters kind of talk about their process and how open they are about like going through difficult times and how that's like impacted their artistic process is like really, really interesting. And I think in some ways it makes it like, it's helpful to hear those stories because you hear like, oh, like they got through this situation. They can look back at it in hindsight with some sort of like love and acceptance and perspective. And they were able to kind of like use it to inform their art. Not to say that like feeling bad is awesome, but like it's a community where I think the discussion of these things is a little more open.
Well, I know we've heard other people, like you mentioned, you know, Vincent, I've heard him talk about, you know, his mental health before, and there's definitely places where people do it. So I don't want to say like people don't do it. And it's definitely something that I think people shouldn't be afraid to do. And I don't think I've ever heard of a negative reaction to someone doing it.
Oh, for sure. I just mean from a personal point of view, like it doesn't, for me, it doesn't feel like the place sometimes to like very easily talk about, you know.
To touch on that real quick, if you do get a negative reaction, that person should not be part of your life. Or, look, I don't want to say it like that. But like that person's not there to help you. They don't care about you. Anyone who cares about you is going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say that the way I mean, but like anyone who loves and cares about you is not going to be negative towards you. And you'll most likely find that everyone can somehow relate. So, yeah. We have a day here that was a couple of days ago called Are You Okay Day. And the whole premise of the day is to ask every person you meet, not every person you see throughout the day, are you okay? and it always drove me nuts that they always just made this one day about like mental health. And now they've started making it all about Are You Okay Day is more to bring awareness of you should be asking it more often and not just that one day.
Right. So. And that's where I always thought it was funny when they had like, you know, National Suicide Prevention Day. You're like, right, 364 today, days, go for
no
it.
Suicides. Today. Today's the day zero.
Right. And that's where, yeah, it's always so. But in thinking about that, and I know we're just, you know, contributing to this single day, but I'd like to hear from our listeners, you know, messages. Let us know. Are you okay?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, you can reach out to any of us on Instagram, reach out to the Clampcast Instagram if you want, or anywhere else, you know, just messages on, you can't say messages on YouTube anymore, can you?
No, but you can comment on the video and let us know.
Yeah. Comment on the video.
Comment on the video. I'll respond. If you go on Instagram, Adam you'll responds. Get the response from Adam. And if you go on Twitter, maybe you'll get a response from Morley. Do we still tweet? I don't know.
It's been a little while.
That's probably automated.
I thought of another a situation I found myself in recently where it was during camp. And I've gone to camp for like lots of my life. I went to day camp for 1 or 2 years and then I went to sleepaway camp for 8 years and then a ninth year as a CIT. And now I've been working at this camp. And, you know, it's always been like a really, really dear part of my life. Like it's, you know, you form these amazing bonds, you go through these like great experiences with people. It's very sentimental. But this year was kind of like the first year where I was working as a staff and significantly older, not significantly, but like older than most of the people working there who were mostly high school students or university students. So I was kind of like one of the few people outside of the directors who is like a couple years out of school. Mm-hmm. And was also in a managerial role. And what I saw throughout the summer was like a lot of the staff going through like very like significant experiences together and developing really strong bonds. And this kind of dovetails into what I was saying earlier in that I did feel a little like removed from that in that like I wasn't having the same, you know, incredible, like it was a great experience, but it wasn't this incredibly like significant bonding experience that the rest of them are having. And I recognized that summer that it was for a few reasons, like, you know, number one, I'm kind of overseeing the higher level things. I'm not with them and the kids every moment of the day, but there was definitely like times throughout the summer where I know this term is used all the time, but I did feel like kind of a strong sense of imposter syndrome in like you kind of like, I'm like, am I faking this? Am I like the wrong person to be in the situation because, you know, everyone else is kind of going through this experience, but I feel separated from it and to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And in talking about that and thinking of it, eventually I kind of came to the realization that like, no, it's not really that. It's more so that like this time is for them. And for me, it's very like, it, was and is fulfilling to be able to like create this for someone else and help other people achieve these things. But it is a different experience from being 20 years old and like managing kids for 8 hours a day and having to deal with their tantrums and have the like heartwarming moments when they finally like click with something or come out of their shells. It's just a different experience. It's not better or worse. It's just different. And I think being surrounded by that, like awesome sentimentality, not like really feeling it deep down in the same way, in some ways felt like a little strange and guilty. But, yeah, I think in situations like that, a little bit of self-reflection is really helpful. Kind of like what I was talking about earlier with accepting your emotions. You're like, I feel like I should be feeling a different way, but this is the way I feel.
Yeah. And I want to say it's okay to feel differently than what other people are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you can be at a place and everyone is having the blast and you're just not feeling it. That's okay. Right? You don't have to feel the same emotion as everyone else around you.
Yeah.
Right? And just evaluate whether like the best thing to do in those situations is to figure out why you're feeling that way. Because sometimes it's something external, like, you know, a family member just passed away and you're at the beach anyways, because that was what you planned to do. And you just go, well, I'm not really feeling, you know, this vacation, right?
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't feel right at the time. It's okay to not feel that way. So
we have
just think about it.
Every once a week during the summer, we call them like staff recs. So it's like after work, everyone hangs out and like does some sort of like activity, whether it's like play Frisbee or watch a movie or like do something fun as a staff. It's just like a staff fun night. And really early on in the season, we did like a movie night. We all watched Parasite. And I think that day I was in like a pretty rough, like mental stage. I think I had just like talked on the phone to a family member who, like is going through a rough patch of mental illness. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen Parasite, but it's like a dark comedy. And I think for me in that moment, it was like, it was pretty depressing to watch. And about like 30 minutes into the movie, I like, and you know, like being one of the leaders of camp, I was kind of like hosting it, but I like kind of like nudged Megan, who is like my other half of camp. I was like, I'm going to head out. Like I'll see you tomorrow. And I felt kind of bad in the moment, but then I went to the skate park on like this beautiful summer day. Cause I just really felt like I needed to be outside and active and like skated for an hour and watched all these like amazing like skaters just, and was inspired by them. And I was like, oh, this is what I need to be doing right now. This is so much better than sitting in like a stuffy curling club, watching a dark comedy that I'm really not feeling. So being able to recognize those situations is great. And when you can exit it and you're not feeling it, is take those opportunities.
Yeah.
But you know, that being said, and this could be another rabbit hole, I don't necessarily want to cut this conversation short, but what you're saying, Grant, made me think like I've been in those situations when you're like, everyone's having an awesome time and you're not feeling it as much. And I've started like evaluating like, well, why aren't I having a good time? And I've found that it can lead to like a mental spiral and make it worse sometimes.
Right.
Totally. Whereas if I try to be in the moment a little more, which is really difficult to do, you know, I'm not saying like, oh, just relax. You know, no one wants to hear that when they're in that situation. Just relax, just be in the moment. But yeah, like I found sometimes for me, like evaluating why am I feeling that way is not the best thing to do.
Just be yourself, but I hate myself.
Yeah.
There's not everything's going to work in every situation, but like, I guess the little example I gave probably was a good one where it's like, you know, a family member just passed away.
Yeah.
You're definitely at a beach party. You're probably not going to be feeling it. It's okay to not feel it, but yeah, definitely don't go into the spiral of, you know, overanalyzing yourself and why you're a horrible person. Cause you're not enjoying this amazing activity you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe have a conversation with a therapist about that.
Yeah. We also live in a time that makes it very difficult to be in the moment. I'm not just talking about social media, but just in like overstimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think
of my clamp mandation.
All right.
Oh, we're going to move on early. No, but I did want to quickly touch on something else. What do you have people in your life who think they're funny and like acquaintances who think they're funny, but really they say something and you're just like, yeah, fuck that guy. I've got a guy at my work, mate. Every time I get a haircut, this fucking guy, he's like, hey, nice haircut. Did you get a refund? Like, and I just walk off and I'm like, fuck you. Like, I'm happy with my hair. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and like, he thinks he's so funny. And I'm just like, but I can't, I don't have the courage to like turn around and say, like, just stop. Like,
you know what I mean? I used to have people like that in my life.
Well, this guy works on my.
I've either punched them or I've told them off. Or if I didn't need to ever see them again, I don't see them ever again.
Yeah.
But I totally used to have, I've been very good at getting negative people like that out of my life.
Mm.
Negativity, like I'll just tell, I'll start with the like, hey, you know, think comments like that don't make me feel good. Do you understand that? So that they understand, like, because maybe he doesn't get it. Maybe he doesn't get that he's intentionally hurting your feelings because some people are dense. They're dense motherfuckers. They don't understand. They need to learn, you know, hey, this offends me. Yeah. Right. And then if they keep doing it, you got two choices. One of them is like, yes.
Yeah, that's going to get me in some trouble at work. I know. I was actually thinking about this, like while you guys were talking, and I thought, you know, I should just next time he says it, just be like, you know, like that's really not funny. And then just walk off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but. Yeah, I'm a little bitch. anyway, on to clip mandations. Grant is first on the list. Grant.
Well, thanks for that wonderful segue, Grant. I can't even remember what was the segue I was trying to make. Being living in the moment. Okay. Let me try that one again. So talking about living in the moment, I was reading this book, Tuesdays with Maury, and it is a book about a guy who meets with his old college professor who's got ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease and is dying. And he meets with him and he basically has interviews with him across a bunch of different Tuesdays. They always seem to have met on Tuesdays. But one of the things that made me think of this book as being a good recommendation is one, it talks a lot about like, you know, living and life and death and accepting that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, this, you know, you go read the book, but it makes me think the guy had so many people who wanted to talk to him and be with him because he always gave those people the time and attention when they were there.
Hmm.
Right. And I think in today's, and this is obviously prior to phones being in our pockets. And like, I know I've been bad where somebody pauses for a millisecond too long and my phone is in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And all they were doing is like having a comma and a period together in their sentence. And for some reason, you know, they had a 2 second pause and it's like, boom, phone in my face. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm in the middle of a conversation with someone in real life. Give them the time and the attention they deserve. And anyways, I just finished the book last night. It definitely made me cry. So if you want to cry, read the book. If you don't want to cry, you should still read the book. But
have you read The Last Lecture?
No.
It sounds similar to that. It's about it's a lecture by I think it's a college professor who has like terminal cancer or something. It's a true story. And it's kind of like
this was a true story too.
Is his name Walter what?
No. We read it in high school. It's really good. It's very affecting. And it's kind of like the life lessons that he's trying to like pass on to his students.
You didn't get that reference?
No, I did.
Okay. You pass it off so calmly that like you had no idea what Breaking Bad was.
I think he passed it off so calmly because he was basically saying, no, I'm trying to make a serious point here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll have to look it up. Did you cry reading it?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I want to try and get a comedy next. So, but I'll look that one up next. Thanks.
Well, speaking of comedy, my recommendation for this week is a Australian comedian called Frenchie. His name on YouTube and everything is Frenchie Sunger Attack. I don't know why the Sunger Attack, but everyone just calls him Frenchie. Dude is hilarious. I found him on TikTok the other day and have just been binging his YouTube videos. Amazing, amazing comedian. He loves his crowd work and stuff, and yeah, really, really cool. Funny.
All right. So we get every category of media in this episode. I have an album recommendation.
Oh.
It's How Long Do You Think It's Gonna Last by Big Red Machine. So Big Red Machine is a collaboration between Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, pretty prolific, amazing indie folk musician, and Aaron Dessner, who is a member of The National. So I think they came out with like an album or two before this. And I saw it come up on my Spotify, and then I listened to the Switched On Pop episode about this album, and it's really, really cool. It's very nice. It's a nice indie folk vibe. Nice Bon Iver. There's actually a really cool song on there with Taylor Swift, who sounds very different on it from some of her like more radio hits. Yeah, it's just really cool. Like if you like, there's a great song on it with the lead singer of Fleet Foxes, who like, in my opinion, has like one of the most amazing voices in music right now. I can't remember his name, but yeah, if you like any of those artists, you will definitely like this album. It's very relaxing, very nice driving music. Go check it out. It's How Long Do You Think It's Gonna Last by Big Red Machine.
That's a really long album name.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I wasn't sure how long it was going to last, but then it ended.
Yes.
On that note, usually we'd read out your reviews if we get any. I feel like I've skipped past something. I have. I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters first because they deserve it.
Yes.
So I want to thank our Patreon supporters. Anyone who follows us on Patreon gets access to the pre-show, the after show, and also gets a one-of-a-kind... It is one of a kind because it has a number on it.
Yeah. They're all slightly different. They're one of a
kind. Yeah, handmade key. Well, yeah, they are. Yeah. Handmade keychain by one and only Molly Kurt. Mm-hmm. That's any level. Any level gets keychain, gets pre-show, off-show, even a dollar. I want to thank our F-clamp level, Brent Jarvis from Clean Cut Woodworking.
Number 16.
Which is our number 16, apparently, and our top level supporter. If you want to support us on Patreon, that's patreon.com/clamp. We appreciate anyone who supports us there, and we appreciate everyone who just listens. If you don't want to or can't support us on Patreon, we completely understand and would love it if you could just share the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who shares on Instagram, I will always reshare your stories. So if you want a free little shout out from the Clamp Instagram.
Are you guys hearing all of our dozens of supporters? Yes.
Are you guys hearing Eden burp in the background right now?
I was wondering what those noises were.
Lovely.
Yes. Thank you, Patreon supporters.
Yes, thank you, Patreon.
She was happy I called her out for that.
I didn't actually hear it. So I was saying, usually we would read out reviews, but we don't have one this week. And when we don't have a review, we do Adam's Australian word of the week. So I have a word this week that I feel like you might know, so I have a backup just in case.
Okay.
But our England listeners will know. And the word of the week is Bicky.
Bicky.
Bicky. Okay, you don't know it. Good.
No.
B-I-K-K-I-E.
B-I-K-K-I-E.
Yeah. Oh, is it a biscuit?
God damn it, Molly.
Oh, nice.
You're too good at this.
What? You know, saying that our English listeners might know it tipped me off because I was like, what is an English word? A biscuit.
Yeah.
Well, what is a biscuit?
Is it a cookie? A cookie.
Okay, yeah. Just save the other one for the next week. You're going to run out of them eventually. That was so, good. Wait, you got me.
Adam. So
yes.
What, like, would you ever say the word cookie?
Yeah. I would say like a chocolate chip cookie.
Okay. Why not a biscuit? Now, why not a chocolate chip biscuit?
Well, it depends on what I feel like saying at the time.
Okay. So they're used basically interchangeably in Australia.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like if my wife, like if I was going to the pantry or whatever, she'd say, hey, can you get me a bicky? Or can you get me some bickies? Or like if she was going to the shop, she'd probably say, hey, get some chocolate chip cookies. I don't know. It's like what I was saying the other day with on the Zoom of like how we say fuel and petrol, but we don't say gas.
And not gasoline.
Yeah. Not gasoline. Gasoline.
Gasoline.
But if I'm saying to my wife that I need to stop and get fuel on the way home from work, I don't say that. I say I need to stop and fuel my car. You know, so it all comes down to context and everything. I want to thank TF Turning.
Say gas. Oop. Sorry. Well, I definitely say like I need gas.
So gas for us is LPG.
LPG. Right.
So which completely makes sense. Because what I'm pumping in my thing is not in a gaseous state.
It's not. Yes, exactly.
Wait, what is LPG?
Liquid petroleum liquefied, gas.
Yeah, which is, no. So this is the whole.
Liquefied petroleum gas.
Right. Liquefied.
Yeah. So we have okay. cars propane, that run on gas. Propane, yeah.
Propane.
Oh, okay.
But I think propane's a little bit different. Yeah.
No, it's still propane. It's just. The way it's okay. stored.
Okay. Yeah, so we have cars that run on that as well, which is a lot cheaper to run.
Yeah, we have cars that run on LPG here too.
Okay.
But cool. the problem is like filling them up is dangerous. Hard to find a place.
I say
and can be dangerous if you do it wrong.
Yeah, so well, in saying that, I have a funny story about that real quick. So my old ute from like that I had before I had kids, so probably about 6 years ago, it was dual fuel, so it had LPG and petrol. So which is pretty common. So people that don't know, if you have an LPG car, that means that there's no oil getting into your engine because the oil comes from the petrol when it sprays into the engine. So we do dual fuel, so you're supposed to say like every four tanks of LPG you should run a tank of petrol to like re-lube up your engine and all that sort of stuff. It just helps it last longer, and it's cheaper than just converting completely to LPG. So what I used to do is our LPG things, they screw on and then you can click it up, and then they're like, so in Australia, you can't actually make your petrol click up and fill up itself. You have to hold – it's illegal for a petrol station to have that function. You have to hold the trigger the whole time. So what I used to do is I would screw on the LPG, clip it up, and then I'd shove my wallet in underneath the handle so that it would keep filling up by itself. And then right next to where the LPG goes in was the petrol intake. So then I'd get the petrol bowser and put that in at the same time, and I'd fill both tanks at the same time. And I once had one person push the emergency stop on me and have a go at me for doing it because it was apparently dangerous.
Yeah, definitely dangerous. So the ones that you can click on have like a little safety when it's full that they unclick. And if you put a wallet in there or your gas cap, which is what usually people do, the safety mechanism is like
void.
Yeah.
We have the little clip thing, but it doesn't actually work. It doesn't clip. Right. They've taken off whatever it clips onto, I guess. But
yeah, it's amazing. We had that. It's amazing how dangerous of situations people will put themselves in for like a tiny amount of convenience.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But I mean, I was young and dumb at the time. Oh, I wasn't that young. I was like 26 or something. But.
You're still dumb.
Yeah, still dumb. Hey, that wasn't fun. No, I'm just kidding. I want to thank TF Turning for the theme music. Thank our guest, Molly, for coming on. And you can
thank the guest is literally a line item in the show notes because we forgot to do it so many times.
Because we always forget to do it. I know.
It says if applicable, so you don't have to do it if it's not applicable.
I know, but... You know, Molly's a guest at the moment because he's been off a couple of times. You can find us on the
reevaluating my position.
Yeah, if you want to be our new third host, you can find us at Clampcast on Instagram. And if you search Molly Grant Adam Clamp on YouTube, you can find our YouTube channel. Please go and subscribe, even if you don't want to watch, just to help us get up to 100 subscribers so we can get our custom URL. Once we have the URL, it doesn't matter, right?
Like, once we have the URL, we're balling out. We're quitting. We've made it.
Yeah, so if you want to just subscribe, get us to 100, and then you can unsubscribe. That's fine by me.
That's it. Last Clamp episode when we get to 100 subscribers.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to head over to the after show. See you.
Bye.
See you.
She was did I tell you guys that like that episode, like I came back into the like bedroom and she like roasted me for like 10 minutes. She's like, how is this interesting? Because she like doesn't give a shit about cars.
And yet, can she not go through like the little magazine rack and see like people have different interests?
Yeah.
Cars, but I think, are one of them.
So I think the thing that pushed her over the edge was like, me like so emphatically arguing about my car's mileage. And she was like, how is this interesting for people to listen to?
Right. And yet it was engaging because people have been commenting it. Maybe it's just me and you, but
yeah.
You know that I've just been like, when you were off by like 0.5, I was just trying to be a jerk and not.
I do. You're very good at pushing people's buttons.